Welcome to Highway Christian Community's Sermon Download. Our aim is to reveal from Scripture just how good God really is. Find more of our sermons and other links, as well as contact details, at our website, www.highway.org.za. That's highway.org.za. May this sermon bless you. Enjoy.
And now, all the way from Kloof this morning, didn't have to contend with the bicycles, didn't have to contend with anything except getting his family on time. It wasn't too difficult. Let's warmly welcome Richard Aschenlager. He's wonderful.
Thanks, Steve.
I just want to say, this family are just such a blessing to us. We love them deeply, and they are a real gift to Highway. And he's got something on his heart that I think will be very encouraging for you to hear. So, anybody need to stand up? Or is everyone happy? You're all happy?
Thanks, Steve.
God bless.
Morning, church. Steve, did you do visitors this morning?
Can't remember.
Are there visitors here today? I've got my friend Harry from Cape Town visiting here. What a privilege. Anyone else visiting today? Oh, welcome, welcome. Thank you. Anyone else? I might have missed you. We serve after the service. Hello, man. Welcome. And we have cappuccinos on the side here. There's a visitors area. Please join us after the service. The wardrobe. Just go. No, not through the wardrobe. Behind the wardrobe. Okay. So, how did I get here is a good question. I sometimes don't really know. But I have had a word placed on my heart for a long, long time now. And it is really a privilege for me to come and share it with you today. I think, you know, are you prepared for this? Well, I have been through a tough school. I was taking the teens for a while. Now, if you really want a tough school, you know, you ask them, How did the preach go on Sunday? And they'll say, you were boring. Or they'll say, you know, did you preach? That's the worst of it. You know, what message did you bring? So I have gone through a bit of a school of tough knocks. And I've been coached by my family. You know, Dad, when you're nervous, you go like this. Don't do it. Or, no, you're rocking. So, look, I'm not so much scared as probably partially terrified, but that's okay. The Lord was here today. He is here now. And I felt the Spirit move through the congregation. So it was awesome worship. And thanks to everyone who was leading that today. So it's been a tough year for some of us. And I'm going to share some of the challenges that I've faced. And then I'll let you guess what the sermon is on today. So I've been in ICU twice this year so far, and I actually wrote part of the sermon while I was lying in a bed in hospital. once, when I was in a hospital, we were burgled. We've been burgled four times this year as well. And I had the two geysers burst, one when family was visiting and there was no hot water. And the list goes on. I've had challenges in the workplace. I have teens in the house. If you really want a challenging lifestyle. And I can actually carry on and on with things that have gone wrong and some of the things and challenges that I've had. In the workplace, I've been frustrated. I had a tough boss who was removed eventually. And things similar to that. I've had to do a lot of traveling. And you start asking yourself, you know, someone comes to you and starts quoting, you know, consider it pure joy. James 1, verse 2, 3, when you face these trials and adversities, and you're really trying to think, do I clap him now? You know, because it can be tough. And you look at the political situation, and you start to get a bit nervous, and you're wondering, where is God in all of this? And where are your promises, Lord, that you made? Because I don't seem to be feeling them right now. So, this is when a little bit of soul searching starts, and you can guess what I'm going to preach on today. Ryan, can you pop it up? Thank you. So keep calm and enjoy God's favor. That's it. I'm preaching on favor today. And as I said, this has been on my heart for a long time, and it's something I actually feel that I am enveloped in. despite what you heard me say earlier now. So, Luke 2 verse 14. Okay, I hope you can read that. The angels come down and speak to the shepherds, and they declare something. They declare that earth, peace will reign on earth, and that God's favor rests here. So the angels come and declare this when Jesus is about to be born. And that favor comes back from Leviticus 25 in the Old Testament. There was a year of Jubilee. And the year of Jubilee was the seventh time, the seventh year. And God said, don't do any work. And all property that was taken away must be returned. Because I'm going to bless you so much. I'm going to bless you so much, you don't need to work. In fact, you will have enough stuff for the next 3 years. You don't need to worry about it. I'm going to bless you. Now, that is where this favor comes from. And Jesus starts his ministry with this as well. And I'm not going to jump ahead too much. But sometimes it's really difficult to see this favor around us if we're looking for the wrong things. James, next slide, please. So Jesus comes as well, and this particular word was actually prophesied on me as well. So maybe it's just as I'm in God's favor that I'm preaching here today. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. This is Jesus with his first sermon, in a sense. Because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor, sent me to proclaim deliverance to the captives, the recovery of sight to the blind, to release the oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. We have this favor that Jesus brought with him. It resides inside of us and released. That comes with God. And then 2 Timothy 2. Okay, next slide. Every good gift, not every gift, every good gift comes down from God above. And did I say every? James 1:16. Don't be deceived, dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change. We have this favor which comes to us from Father God above. And sometimes we forget where the good things come from. And God doesn't change. And there's other good news for us. 2 Timothy 9. Okay. I'm going to jump to the bottom of it. But if we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. But if we are faithless, he remains faithful. So God doesn't change. He is faithful. Even if we step out of line, it's okay. But we have been called to reign with him. That's something. So we sang today about the King of Kings. We are called to be kings under the King of Kings. We are called to a higher purpose. And life can be tough as a king. So that's what I want to try and challenge you with today, is that sometimes we look at people in the Bible and we think, wow, you know, if I had that calling on my life. I'm going to use a couple of examples today. So, how do you think God viewed David? Yeah. What do you think God had to say about David? And the Bible tells us, okay, just wait on this one. Thanks, Ryan. Okay, the Bible tells us that God was pleased with David. Okay, after removing Saul in Acts 13, verse 22, he made David the king. God testified concerning him, I found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. So, God takes David and he is pleased with him. He said, this oak is fantastic, man. He's after my own heart. Man after my own heart. And then all the trouble starts. So, if we go and have a look at the slide, what I did over here is I had a look at the life of David. And on the left is the good stuff, and on the right is the bad stuff. So what you see is David, at a relatively young age, gets anointed as a king by Samuel, the prophet. Then he goes back to being a sheep herder. Great start to being a king. Okay, just on the right hand side, he gets attacked by lions and bears. So you're out there in the bush by yourself, and suddenly lions come, bears come, you're fending them off. Bit of a tough day in the office. Defeats Goliath. Great victory. He resides in the palace, so he gets elevated. Saul says, come, join in and become part of my household. But then Saul turns on him, and he's forced to flee. He has the best friend in Jonathan, which he has to leave behind. And then he gets forced to wander in the desert, and he gets hounded by Saul. He won't let up. Just keeps chasing him all over the place. But while he's in the desert, people get drawn to him. He raises up the mighty men. He forms a little bit of an army, and they go and tackle the Philistines and the Hittites, and all sorts of oaks get taken out by this small army. During all of this, he loses his best friend. Saul and Jonathan go fighting, and they get taken out, both of them. What you don't think is that this was the guy's best friend. He's gone. You know? He gets made king of Judah, which is only the southern part of the kingdom, for 7 years. No, he didn't become king of whole Israel, only Judah, a small portion of it. He fights, ends up fighting against Israel, his brothers. The other 11 tribes, you know, he ends up fighting against them. There's a bit of a massacre and all sorts of things happen. Eventually, reason reigns. But eventually, Saul's son gets killed, and David gets made king of Israel, where he reigns for about 40 years or so. While he's king, he murders some oak's wife, husband, Uriah, and then commits adultery. And but he also recovers the ark, and he brings law and worship back to Israel. In the latter years, one of his sons rises up and tries to take the kingdom from him, and eventually gets killed. He loses Absalom, who also rapes one of his daughters. But he establishes a kingdom of peace. And so, what I wanted to illustrate here quickly is that David was a man after God's own heart. But it didn't make life easy for David. There was a journey involved. There's a journey involved in this. I'm going to jump across to another one quickly. The life of Paul. So moving on to the New Testament. Paul has this... Okay, he's an accomplice to murder on the bad side. You know, he's part of the stoning of Stephen. He was there. Then he has this Damascus Road encounter where God comes and visits him. Jesus meets him on the road to Damascus. Just transforms his life. There's a long time after that, if you read in the Bible, before he starts going on to his ministry journeys. But if you look at his ministry journeys, he gets beaten around a lot, arrested constantly. He plants many churches on the plus side. So he's going out there amongst the Gentiles, planting churches. He's forced to try and correct apostasy in the church all the time. False prophets he comes against. So there's a real challenge. It's not easy out there. He has many strong friendships with Barnabas, Timothy. Some of them go horribly south. Barnabas leaves him, and he's abandoned by his mate. He has a bit of an altercation with the church in Jerusalem over legalism that crept in again, and he has to correct some of them. But he ultimately establishes the Gentile church. He gets regularly shipwrecked, forced to support himself, but he writes half the New Testament letters. I mean, amazing story of a call on someone's life. I mean, God had called him. Paul speaks about it in Galatians, where he says that Galatians 1:11-12. Let me just find it. Here we go. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel I preach is not of human origin. I did not receive it from man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. So Paul had this Damascus Road experience, and God came, Jesus encountered, gave him a revelation, and set him on his course. He was chosen by God. It didn't make life easy for him. He was chosen, just like David was chosen. What about Jesus? Do you think God favored Jesus, his son? I would say probably yes. I would say pretty much yes, and he confirms it in his word. Matthew 3, verse 17. A voice came from heaven while Jesus was being baptized by John the Baptist. This is my son, of whom I am well pleased. God loved his son. do you think that made Jesus' life easy? Because he was loved by his Father who had the power to do everything. Everything. God has the power to do everything he wants to. But he allows in his wisdom what he could prevent with his power. Because every knee shall bow at the name of Jesus. And God has full authority over it. Next slide, sorry. So the life of Jesus. Now, this is really small text. There was a lot of it. And I'm not going to go into it a lot. I don't want to spend too much time on this. But I want to show you that for every good, there is bad. There were some tough times in Jesus' life. He goes into the temple as a teen and he starts teaching everyone. I'm now amazed by his wisdom. Amazed. Then he gets reprimanded by his parents because he gets left behind. They go home to Bethlehem, wherever, and they leave him behind. And where were you? I was in my father's temple. Where do you expect to find me? But he got into trouble, like most teenagers. He gets baptized by John the Baptist and sealed by the Spirit. This Holy Spirit comes in and immediately into the desert for a tough time. 40 days, man. I don't know how you'd feel after 40 days, but I would be in trouble. I'd be a bit thinner of fasting, but he gets tempted in every way. And he faces off Satan. It's a tough time for him. He calls his disciples. Like he turns water into wine, calls his disciples. He goes and he preaches on this Temple of the Mount, which is an amazing thing. Crowds come to him while he's preaching. And after he's finished preaching, they don't like what he had to say, and they wander off. And he gets abandoned. It's like me standing here preaching, and you all just get up and leave. Please don't do it right now. Okay, not right now, thanks. But that's what happened to him. He's preaching, and they get up, and they walk out. And he says to his disciples, are you also going to leave me? And they said, but where else would we go? Wrong answer. You know? But I mean, imagine how he's feeling inside. Hey guys, you just left me. He's doing many miracles. He sends out the 12 and they do great stuff. John the Baptist gets murdered. His cousin, John, who he grew up with to a certain extent. You would have seen them. They were friends. They recognized. They knew each other well. Gets murdered. He loses someone dear to him. He gets persecuted by the Pharisees. He gets rejected in his own hometown. Is this Jesus of Nazareth, the carpenter's son? Why should we listen to him? Yeah. Great start to your ministry, guys. No one wants you in town. Yeah. This is God's son we're talking about. No one wanted to listen to him. He feeds 5,000 and walks on water. Amazing miracles. And then his disciples get together. First of all, they don't know who he is. Are you? You are the Son of God. You know, there's a revelation that happens. And then they argue about greatness. Who is going to be the greatest in kingdom? So he gets this group of almost, let's call it elders. Imagine us, you know, the champions getting together and deciding amongst themselves, who's the greatest of them? Oh, I'm closer to Steve than you. No. This is what happened. They're getting together and they're arguing about each other. This is his own inner core team. He's got dissension in the ranks. They're competing for a place of power amongst them. Amazing stuff. You don't often see it like this. He has this transfiguration encounter on the mountain, which is a high. God once again acknowledges his son. And then he goes in for the triumphant entry, and everyone is cheering. Jesus, fantastic stuff, man. Cheering. Then he has the Last Supper and gets betrayed by one of his inner circle. Then he gets handed over. He gets traded for a murderer. Gets traded for a murderer. Abandoned by his friends. Everyone flees. He gets left alone. There's no one there to cover his back. They're all gone. But he dies on the cross. And he defeats Satan and death. And then he restores his disciples back together again, the 11. And ascends to God's right hand. He ascends to God's right hand. This is the story of kingship and what it means to be called by God to kingship, to a greater purpose. It is not necessarily an easy road. It's not necessarily an easy road, but what God has accomplished through these people and through his son has changed the world forever. David, Paul, Jesus himself, and I could carry on. Joseph, Abraham, the list is actually pretty endless. So, next slide, please. So, 1 Peter 5 says, let me just go there quickly. We are being refined. Okay, I've just lost my way. Here we go. We are being refined. So, in all of this, you can greatly rejoice. Okay, first, we are shielded by God's power to a certain extent. God allows certain things, but He is shielding us from the worst of what Satan could do and what the world could throw at us, and the stupid things we do ourselves. If you look at those lists there, some of the things that were done, David did to himself. He committed adultery. No one else to blame. But God still used him in a mighty way. Other people, for other things, it was the world that was just against them. No one liked Jesus' message, so the Pharisees revolted against that and persecuted him. And so these trials can come from all over the places. They could be, you know, even God sometimes sends things into our lives. He permits them to happen. But they have a purpose. Though now for a little while you have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials, these have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. So what he's saying there is that, once again, I'll come back, consider it pure joy. No, I don't want to hear that one. Yes, God is working in you. He is refining us to a higher calling. And this is not for when you are dead. This is for the now. This is for the now. So, we are called to a higher calling. Psalm 20. He grants us the desires of our heart and gives us victory, and gives victory to His anointed. So basically, God will give us the desires of our heart, but there is James does say 4:23 that we have to ask with the correct motives. Otherwise, He's not going to answer our prayers. He's not going to give you that Lamborghini that you asked for if your heart is not aligned with what His purposes are. Okay, next slide, please. So, favor. Favor, what does favor actually mean? This is just something I hacked off the internet quickly. But it generally means approval, support, or liking for someone or something. An act of kindness beyond what is due or usual. So, do we have God's favor? And if so, how come life seems to be tough at times? But let's look at this. Next slide, please. God really, really likes you. So if I can share something with you now today, it's this, that God actually likes you. We know that God loves us. You've heard this 100 times, for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. But I could love someone and not actually like them. I love you, brother, but you really are a pain. You know, I love you in Christ. You know, okay, that's not it. God likes you. He likes you. He actually likes who you are. He likes what He made. He likes Doug. Turn to your neighbor and just say, God likes you. He actually, we forget this. For some obscure reason, we think we are under this mantle where God is obliged to love us. He's not obliged to love us. He loves us because that's who He is. But more than that, He actually likes us. And He wants to bestow this kindness on us, which He is doing all the time, and most of the time we don't recognize it. So, 2 Corinthians 9, we are His adopted children, Romans 8, verse 15. I'm not going to spend too much time on it. And Psalm 16, verse 3, I say of the holy people who are in the land, they are the noble ones in whom is all my delight. All my delight. God delights in you. It doesn't matter that you've done something wrong. Because Jesus died on the cross. God doesn't see that. He delights in you. So He is kind to us because He likes us. We don't deserve it. That's grace. we talk about grace, but we don't talk sometimes about this favor that comes through God's kindness. He is the kindest person you'll ever meet. That's who God is. I'm going to just share something a little bit now, but you know, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. I'm going to go back to this verse a little bit later. But this favor of God is not just for us. It's for us to be a conduit, to display God's favor to the rest of the world. Now, I'm going to focus on that on a little bit more. But the favor is there. The goodness is there. The jubilee is now. God's favor is with us. Even though, for some reason, with all the circumstances that you see around you, my two trips to hospital, you can question why. Why? I don't seem to see it. Trust me, God's favor is with you. Hebrews 6:13, God has sworn on his own name. That is an incredible verse. God has sworn on his own name, Hebrews 6 verse 13. Saying, I will surely bless you and give you many descendants. This is what he said to Abraham. So God swore on his own name. That is incredible. That he will bless us. That we will be favored by him. There is no higher thing for God to swear on except for himself. Next slide, please. I did this in my life group, and I want to thank the Lord for my life group. If you're not part of a life group, please do yourself a favor. Just join one. Yeah, join one. You can join mine if you want. But Ireland, I mean, I just want to thank the Lord for them. I mean, they've covered me in prayer in this. They've encouraged me. And that's part of the walk that we have in this church, is we're part of a community. But I shared this with them, something God laid on my heart at the stage. When you walk in the room, when you came to church today, did you come to receive something? You came to receive something. But I need to tell you that you came with God already inside of you. When you walk through this door, God doesn't come and now come inside of you. Yes, you can have an encounter with him in a special way. The Spirit was here today. I mean, I felt him move. I can feel this wind of the Spirit blowing at times. And he was here this morning. And he's here every time. But when you walked through this door, you brought God into the place. Because your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, we reside in Christ. He's inside of us. You came with God, and you will leave with him inside of you when you go out. So thank you for bringing a part of Jesus with you, because that's what you did. And it's important to understand that. Because when you walk into a situation within your workplace or your family environment, you're bringing God with you. He is coming with you as a born-again believer. He's inside of you. So you have an incredible influence that comes with that. Jabez, you know Jabez's famous prayer, if you don't. 1 Chronicles 4 verse 9. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. I'm going to just jump ahead. And he prayed to God saying, will you bless me and enlarge my territory? Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm, so I will be free from pain. And God granted his request. So God gave, he asked for favor and God gave it to him. And that favor was influence, extended territory. That favor was keeping him from harm and keeping him from pain. And so he asked God for favor and he got it. How much more now in the New Testament with Christ inside of us? I love some of these verses over here. Genesis 30 verse 27. I'm going to go quickly now. But this is what you have. Now Laban is talking to Jacob. And Jacob has gone over to Laban. And Laban says, if I found favor in your eyes, please stay. Don't go. Stay. Why? Why must he stay? I've learned from divination that the Lord has blessed me because of you. Because Jacob hung around, everything that had to do with Laban and his household was blessed. Because you had God with Jacob. And as soon as God comes with Jacob into the room, the world changes. There is blessing and there is prosperity. And Laban says, don't go. Please don't leave me because God is with you. Name your wages, I will pay them. Okay, next one. Joseph. You know Joseph. Joseph gets made a slave and goes to work for Potiphar. From the time Potiphar put him in charge of his household and all that he owned, the Lord blessed the entire household of the Egyptian because of Joseph. The blessing of the Lord was on everything Potiphar had. Everything that Potiphar had, both in the house and in the field. The presence of Joseph was enough. He was God's anointing to bring blessing on the oak. Walks into the room and everything changes. Everything changes. God is with him. And people recognize it. There's this favor that comes. And it's not for Joseph. It's for the presence of Joseph. To Samuel. Okay, we know that. The Spirit of the Lord is upon Jesus, upon me, says Jesus, to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight to the blind, and set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. We shared that one before. Okay, this is also one of my favorite. In 2 Samuel 6, verse 11, we talked about David. David tries to get the ark back to Jerusalem, but things go a little bit wrong. He's trying to do it his way, and the wheels fall off, literally. The ark doesn't make it back to Jerusalem. The ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. The ark's not even a Jew. He's a Gittite. This ark gets camped off there. And the Lord blessed him and his entire household. In fact, when David tried to take the ark away, this guy says, no, no, I'm coming with. I'm coming with. I don't want to leave this favor of the presence of God because everything is blessed around me. Why should I leave that? Amazing story. But there are a couple of things there. One is that for this favor, we need to abide in Christ. So there is an abiding. There is something we also have to do. Yes, God gives unmerited favor on us. But it truly gets released when we are abiding in Him, when the Spirit, when we let God do His work through us. Yes, we have unmerited favor, but I believe it. I actually believe it. And that's one of the requirements. You know, God is blessing you, but you can't see it unless you believe it sometimes. Otherwise, you're going to look at that negative list and spend your life dwelling on the negative list. You don't get to look at the good stuff if you're not looking for it, if you do not understand how much God loves you. I'm going to close off now. So, this favor, we have it because we have Jesus inside of us. And it is awesome. And I'm going to just share some of what God has done in my own life about it, because I can speak from experience in this. But what I will say is that Ezekiel 47 talks about this river of life, and we sang about it this morning. It was the first song that we sung about, wells of living water that flow up inside of us. It's not just for us. It's to flow out and to change the world around us. We have living water that is flowing out, and that living water is favor of God in that it gives life wherever it goes. You see prosperity around, the fish are in abundance. When we don't let it flow through us, you'll see halfway through there, the second last line, the swamps and marshes will become fresh, will not become fresh, they will be left for salt. So what happens is if you don't have this water flow through you, you become a swamp. You become salty and nothing grows. But that's not God's intent. He wants to use you as a vessel to bless those around of you. So He has given you favor to allow this living water that He pours through you, through the Holy Spirit, to bless everything around you. But you need to have the confidence to know that God has elected you for this, so that you don't hold back and you don't clam up this water, that this gift that is inside of you. So, if I look at my own life, I have a lot. I know that God's favor is with me. I can look at I can look at what God has done for me. Let me just go and find this quickly. I've lost my way a little bit. I'm closing off now. But I had many tribulations this year, and I shared just a tiny fraction of those tribulations. But let me tell you about God's favor on my life. I'm really excited about this word because it means that God is doing great things for me. He is positioning me to rule and reign with Him. I'm excited by these tribulations. So what if the geezer bursts? I don't really care. So I went to ICU. Great, man. I could, you know, share the gospel with Oaks lying next to me in the hospital. So what? But I have unmerited favor. I came from a broken home. I had an alcoholic as a father. I have been blessed with an incredible family, a gorgeous wife. I celebrate 20 years of marriage in a couple of days' time. That is God's favor. That's God's favor. I started my career with nothing. There were days when I would starve at home. I had no money. My parents, my dad had lost his wealth. But God blessed me. And today I don't have a lot of debt. I have very little. And I have been allowed, I set myself a goal. We as a family set a goal in terms of how we were going to try and bless the church with this, the bond busters. And just from extra income coming in, I exceeded that figure by 300-400%. But that's because of the favor of God. It's not because of who I am. It's who God has inside of me. I can't say, gee whiskers, I made lots of money for you, Lord. I say, thank you, Lord, for giving me this so that I can bless. There's a different angle to this thing. We couldn't have children for many, many years. And I now have got three blessings. Absolute blessings. Yes, they are teens, some of them. But they are, you know. And I sometimes question God's judgment. He says, you know, the kingdom belongs to such as these. And I'm still trying to work that particular scripture out. I haven't got my hand around it yet. But I know that I'll get wisdom in time. I had struggled in the workplace. We got a boss who was very, very difficult. We lost a lot of people. I lost 100 people from our office in the space of a year. Despite that, he was removed and I've been promoted to a global position. And that's favor. It's not something I went looking for. I was wondering, will I have a job in a couple of months' time? Now I oversee a business that spans multiple continents. And I don't even consider myself a particularly good engineer, but I do have favor. When I walk in this room, God is with me. We had a project that went horribly south in Nigeria, which I'm going to next week. When I say horribly south, we were probably in tune to $100 million loss as a company. And I just said, I will take the job because God is with me. I'll take the job because God is with me. Because we will turn this thing around, God and I. He's with me. Why should I not take it on? Because we can turn this thing around. And we are busy turning it around. We have sorted most of the issues out, and I don't see any claims against us so far, and we've managed to catch most of it in time, and God is with us. He is with me. And I can go on and on and on about the favor of God, and I can keep you here all day. Literally, I can keep you here all day, but I want to challenge you. Look, don't look at the list on the right. Look at what God is doing in terms of the favor that He's pouring out in you. And you will see He is at work. He cannot deny Himself. Just give me the next slide, please. Sorry. This picture. I don't know why I chose this picture, but it just sums up some of... It tells a story. When all is going to pot around you, despite what you've done wrong, God loves you like your pet. He doesn't care that you've done something wrong. He doesn't care that you shouted at your wife. He loves you, man. He loves you. Doesn't matter that the world's gone to color and everything's burst around you. It's okay. Look, God is really more a lion than a dog, but this illustrates a concept. illustrates that he is loving you, he's kind, he wants to bless you, and he is blessing you. So I want to close. And this comes down to love at the end of the day. That's why I like this slide. That dog loves its owner. It doesn't matter that it's been painted black, blue, and yellow. It just loves its owner unconditionally. You know, there's a sign as you go up Fieldsville that says, be the owner your dog thinks you are. I love that thing. I love it. Because God looks at you and he just loves you. He loves you and he will bless you. So when you go and you face your challenges in the next coming weeks, they are going to come because God is making you up. He's refining you. He is refining you. Thank God that I'm being tested because it means he's got great things in store for me. He's got great things in store for me. Yeah. Guys, that's your word. He's got great things for you. When you walk in the room next time and you face a challenge, remember what I just told you about the fact that God is coming with you into that situation. He's already there. He knows what it's about. And he's going to turn it around because you are there and you have Christ inside of you. It's an amazing thing for us to live this life. We do not comprehend the goodness of God sometimes. I'd like to close there. And just, I'm going to just, two things. If you do not know Christ, this is a good time. This is a good time. To know that God is for you and not against you, and that he loves you so much that he sent his son. We say it, but we don't sometimes understand it. So if that is you today and you do not know Jesus, I'd like to just give you that chance to pray with you. So I think let's just rise. Stand, everyone, please stand if you can. So if you do not know Christ, I'd like to pray for you. If you could maybe just raise your hand, if I can see you. I'm just going to see if there is anyone. Okay. So, okay, praise the Lord. All fine so far. But if you do have, if the Lord has challenged you in a way, please come up and chat to us in the front here. We'd love to share that faith with you and bring you into life where you're walking in this mystery that is the goodness of God. But now I want to pray with you quickly. Those that feel that the world is against you, you feel that you've had a real tough time out there in the last couple of months or years, everything seems to be going to pot. Okay. I'm going to challenge you in this and say, look for what God has been doing in your life. Look at how he has blessed you. And when you face these challenges and you walk into a situation that is tough, I want you to think and understand that you're taking God into that situation with you and that his favor rests upon you. It will change how you speak. It will change how you talk about this country. It will change about, it will affect the relationships that your challenges that you might be facing. So let's just pray quickly. Just bow your heads. Father, we just thank you for this word today. I just trust that your Holy Spirit has done its work and shared this message with whoever needs it most, Lord. And Lord, we just really pray today that we will leave changed and that when the struggles of life come, we will meet them head on like the overcomers you have made us to be. I thank you, Lord, that you are calling us to a higher journey, the journey of a king and a queen. We have been called to a higher journey, Lord. And Father, we give you thanks for what you have been doing and doing through us over time, Lord. You are refining us into this perfect image of Christ-likeness. We thank you for that, Lord. Father, just meet those who have great need today, Lord. I just pray that your love would just envelop them, that they would understand the kindness and love of Christ, and that you would open their eyes and heal their hearts and set the captives free today. We just give you thanks for everyone here today. In Jesus' name, amen.